A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Blizzard Watch podcast, the podcast where we talk about Blizzard Entertainment and its many games, and occasionally something else. Like, you know, if there's some really big news, we might cover that too. This week, however, myself and my two magnificent co-hosts, Liz Harper and Joe Perez, have nothing to talk about because nothing is happening on the Blizzard front. So this entire show is going to be about underwater basket weave. I am lying through my teeth. If you believed that, I feel really
bad. You know,
bad.
I watched a YouTube video like from a couple creators that are makers that did an underwater basket weaving episode. It was actually truly fascinating to watch people actually attempt it. It really is. Cool.
There used to be college courses on it and stuff. It's a very useful technique.
Yeah,
however,
people think this isn't a real thing, that people just do it as a joke. No, this was a real thing.
Oh yeah, it works for a lot of things. But just because that's not the podcast we're doing, let's instead talk about so much stuff happening. I think right now today we're going to get to the really big news, but I want to first mention something that is maybe a little less big, but is still pretty cool. Hearthstone's Battlegrounds Season 4 is today as we're recording this. It's right now.
Yes,
I in the past have forgotten to mention Hearthstone and so forth, and that's a mistake because while Liz is talking about Hearthstone, I can drink, so I am going, not alcohol, I don't drink alcohol, I am an informed alcoholic, I have been off that stuff for years, but I can drink this lovely blackberry beverage here, so I'm going to do that, and Liz is going to talk about Hearthstone's Battlegrounds Season 4.
I mean, the Battlegrounds Season 4 is actually maybe the biggest update to Battlegrounds that we have ever seen. It kind of has a seasonal approach. This is only the fourth official season, but it always kind of had, you know, updates would come kind of in between expansions, kind of midway, and they would add things, they would remove things, but they've standardized the season. This is the biggest change we have seen yet. One of the biggest changes of this biggest changes is that they've removed poisonous as a keyword, which is going to be really interesting to see in practice. Poisonous minions with poisonous will instantly kill anything they touch. And it was a mainstay of Murloc compositions, and now it's been replaced with something called Venomous, which is the same, but it only works on the first attack. So it used to be, if you got a poisonous minion and you like kept buffing them, you would just slaughter all opposition because it would hit something and it would kill it, and it would hit something and it would kill it, and then it would hit something else and it would kill that, and before you know it, your opponent doesn't have anything on the board. There's a lot of changes. There are new keywords. They've removed the Mega Wind Fury keyboard. A keyword. Wow, there's so much going on. And they have added so many minions. There are tons and tons of new minions. If you enjoy Battlegrounds, now is a good time to jump in because there is so much new. And, you know, after playing a season for, you know, 3-4 months, it can start to feel a little samey. It's not going to feel samey starting today because there's just such a pile of changes. The whole meta is, you know, throw it out the window. It is all new right now. It's going to be a lot of fun seeing how it's going to shake out.
Now, I'm looking at some of the changes here. I'm not going to try to list all of them, but I do like that they've altered the Mana Saber here. It's a new beast. Mana Saber with Death Rattle. It summons two Coblings with Taunt. I don't like the idea of Coblings, you know, getting hurt, but nevertheless, it's a pretty cool new minion that they've introduced. So there's a lot of them.
So many. I was like, I asked Phil to write a post on this, and he wrote 1,600 words. And I was like, okay, I asked for a post. I don't know that I asked for this, but okay, that's just gives you a sense of how many changes there are. It's just going to feel like a whole different game when you jump in and play. So also the other thing is buddies gone again. So those are out. Maybe we'll see them again in the future. But for now, it's just the straight basic game with a whole heck of a lot of changes.
Yeah. So that's, you know, if you haven't played Battlegrounds in a while, or maybe never played it like myself, maybe you want to go check it out. I'm interested just to see the sheer volume of changes. Also, though, the coming up, I think, again, today and lasting until the 22nd this time, is Overwatch has got its Star Watch Galactic Rescue event happening, which has a bunch of different skins. They're all space themed. Go ahead.
The current Overwatch season has kind of this space opera theme going on, but this event is it's a special 4v4 game mode that takes place on a modified version of the Horizon Lunar Colony map, and it kind of tells the story of this alternate universe that all of these weird skins are based on. And I do like it when Overwatch tries to do some storytelling, because, you know, it's that PvE mode that I'm interested in. I'm really interested in the story of Overwatch. And so I think this is really cool. But this afternoon, a friend of mine actually made the comment that the Overwatch team is doing a lot of work to tell stories about anything but Overwatch.
Yeah, because that's fair. It actually feels a little bit like Overwatch events have turned into Heroes of the Storm, where Heroes of the Storm was constantly like, here's a new Thrall skin, and here's the weird twisted backstory. Or, you know, here's a bunch of mecha skins, and here's the mecha world that they all come from. And it was like, this is very cool, but what are you doing? I mean, you said you were going to have an actual story for Heroes of the Storm, and they even introduced unique characters from the worlds of Heroes. Yeah. And then they didn't really do anything with that. And it was like, guys.
I missed that. That was so much fun. Those original characters were great.
Yeah. I mean, I liked Giant Coffin on her Batgirl. I don't remember her name. Sorry, because it's been a while since I've really thought about Heroes. But she was good to play, although I still loved playing Malfurion. I loved playing Malfurion partially because everyone was like, you're playing Malfurion? I was like, he's a good healer. It's not my fault he's a jerk.
And it was Orphea, by the way, because she was one of my favorites.
Orphea, yes. Thank you. But yeah, so I do think it's a little weird that they're going the alternate history route. But then again, they kind of always have done that. The Junkenstein event is very much that.
Yeah, this is supposed to be sort of like the Junkenstein event. So, I mean, it sounds really cool. I love to see them getting into storytelling modes. But then the question is, okay, guys, you were going to give us a PvE mode, and it was supposed to come out early 2023, which, I don't know if it's technically early 2023 anymore. If so, it's not going to be for long.
I'd say that you can get away with it. Yeah, you can get away with it saying early to like April. Once you're past April, you're not in early anymore.
Once you pass the first quarter, you're in mid.
I mean, I guess. I don't know. I feel like mid is June, but
which is 3 weeks away.
Yeah, I understand
not that far. Yeah,
I understand that. Believe me, because again, the Diablo 4 drum is pounding in my skull. So let's. Do you have anything else you want to talk about Galactic Rescue? Or should we move on to talking about the devs?
Let's keep going.
Okay. Tomorrow at 11 a.m. Pacific, there's going to be another Diablo 4 dev live stream. This one's going to be talking about seasons and Battle Pass. Don't know what they're going to say. They've already talked about seasons in Battle Pass before, so maybe they're just going to reiterate that, or maybe they have new information for us. I don't know. That's what we'll be watching the live stream to find out. But I will say that I hope I hope that they stick around with the idea that they had for like each season having its own narrative hook and it actually having new story and new quests and stuff. That I think was a really good idea. I love Diablo 3 season, but they narratively they are nothing. There is no new story in them. And that's not like objectionable or anything. But I actually, I kind of find it objectionable. I want, they did weird things to put story in the game at odd moments. Do you guys remember when they introduced like that whole Cathedral of Blood thing?
Mm-hmm.
And they just stuck it out. Like, I think it was like on the same map as Secheron. Like it was just off in the corner there. And you could, and then there was an island too. They also put in a new island with like, there was story there. There were no quests to go there or anything, but there was a story about this weird island full of like horrible monsters. And I was sitting there going, this is really cool, but you just sort of jammed it in and then walked away. You know, this could have been the basis of something. So yeah, I hope they do continue that story season thing. But I'm going to say for you guys, what are you looking forward to? What do you want? What do you hope they're going to say about seasons and battle passes here? We'll go with Joe first.
Battle passes, I want to continue to remain being nothing but cosmetics or just fun things that are, you know, not game breaking or not items that will, you know, deeply change the way you play. Give me an incentive, but don't make it a money grab, which I know. Who knows? As far as seasons go, I really would like there to be almost like a content release thing where seasons matter. And I'm with you on that, because I think one of the things about Diablo 3, like, seasons never matter to me because I tend to like story. And Diablo is a universe, and I talk about this with WoW all the time. Diablo is a game that I can see falling into almost like the free RPG or MMORPG category, where you just constantly release new story and updates and move along. Like, DC Universe Online is still producing content. Like, it still has a continuing story, like, years later, like, 14 years later. And I could see, like, Diablo doing that. I'd like to see seasons maybe play with that a little. Like you said, like, you had those things in Diablo 3 where it's like, here's some extra stuff that got added. It has some story, and it's kind of haphazard, and, you know, or it's the Necromancer, or it's this island, or whatever the case is. I'd like to see maybe seasons focus on broadening the story between major drops, if that's what they're going to do, because I don't even think they've told us what they're going to do with after the game releases, right? Like, they haven't mentioned, like, if there's going to be like a release cycle or if they're going to do expansions or
we do know there will be a seasonal cycle, and I believe they've said quarterly.
Okay, so I mean,
new seasons and new battle passes,
well, which is fine for quarterly, but we don't know if, like, if that's what that is going to be. So if they tell us that seasons are going to be like mini patch contents or whatever that, like, go forward and are done instead of expansions, I'd be okay with that. I don't know. I'm going to stop talking now and let you all talk.
Liz?
I mean, I'd like to hear more about their seasonal model. We have heard, you know, kind of, we've heard the big picture about seasons and battle passes. I would love some hard details on the kind of content we're going to get in seasons. They have said there's going to be story content in seasons, like new zones. I would just like, I would like some hard details, and I would like to know when the first season starts. I would like to know when we're going to jump into that and what kind of content we start to see after we've, you know, committed that 150 hours to playing Diablo 4 to max level.
Mm-hmm, yeah, that's a good point. I mean, if you're making the game something where you have to take that much time to get to max level to start the Paragon journey, and that's just to start it, you have to play 150 hours just to get there.
I actually believe Paragon unlocks at level 50. So halfway through, you unlock Paragon before you hit like all the way at endgame.
That's interesting. Must be, yeah, but it's a separate, entire separate system. It's tiles and so forth.
Yeah.
But it, regardless, I mean, you're going to be spending a lot of time in this game just getting there. So yeah, it would be nice to know how the seasons are going to play into that. When we're going to see our first one, how long before we see it. Like, it would be my hope that we don't see it until July at the earliest. I don't want it to come in the middle of June. I want people to get a chance to just play Diablo before they have to start thinking about the new stuff. But we'll see what happens.
I think we put out a prediction about that, and I believe it was September.
That'd be ideal, in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah. So give people plenty of time to play the game and then add a new seasonal thing.
Whatever it is. But also, I kind of have to echo Joe here in that I don't want the battle pass to be anything that I ever feel even remotely like I have to do this. I do not want to feel that way. If I ever feel like, well, you know, I'm just one of the reasons I stopped playing Diablo Immortal was the fact that I could just not get over the fact that they wouldn't stop telling me about how bad I was doing because I didn't have these things that I could have bought. Instead, I was grinding to get them, and you know, everybody's ahead of you. And I was like, no, I'm done. I'm done. So,
you know, Diablo Immortal might not feel so bad if it just didn't nag you all the time about go to the store and buy this new deal.
You even have to go to the store just to get your daily free thing. They can't just give it to you. They make you, like, you know, remember to go to the store to get your free thing. And while you're there, it's like, oh, geez. Like I'm trying to play a video game here. I'm not trying to work a second job. So, yeah, that was not great. I should mention, though, since we're talking about the Diablo live stream on the 10th, 2 days after that, on the 12th, we're going to see 2 days of Diablo 4 Server Slam beta event, which means they're literally saying, download the beta and jump on. And we don't care how many of you do it. We would like it if lots of you did it.
Yeah, they want to see what the breaking point is. They want to see what they really want to stress test it.
Yeah, and keep in mind, this does mean that it might not necessarily be the best experience if you go into it thinking you're just going to be playing Diablo 4. The purpose here is not, watch, you know, here's how cool Diablo 4 is. Let's play lots of it. The purpose here is, how many people can we get on this server before it explodes? So if you keep that in mind, if you're somewhat patient with the sudden crashes and stops and you log back in when it's up again and all your progress is gone, again, it's a beta. It's a test. So don't go into this, you know, treating it like it's just a perk and oh yay. No, it's not good. That's why you're there. You're there to make this happen. You're there to break it so that they can see how you broke it and fix it. Like, okay, we need to make sure that, you know, if it gets this many calls to the server, it doesn't go into a loop like that. That's bad. That sort of thing. So yeah, but that is definitely happening this week because it's the 9th. So the 12th is 3 days away. That's Friday. Yep. So yeah.
That will be happening all weekend. It starts on Friday at noon Pacific. And
I think it ends Monday at noon, doesn't it?
I don't think so. I think this one actually ends on Sunday evening.
Okay. Last time it kept going until like noon at the middle of the day.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So we'll see what happens.
The world boss will be available. I think it's once every hour or every couple of hours. It's going to be up much more often than it was in the original beta. And if you go and kill the world boss, you will get a special reward in the live game. You will get like a horn thing that looks like you yanked it off the boss and it will like be attached to your mount. So you can get that cool, weird, giant horn that you can just carry around on your mount forever if you jump into the beta and kill the world boss sometime this weekend. You can also still get any of the other beta rewards, like the wolf cosmetic, the baby wolf cosmetic, which you can carry around, which you get by just going and leveling to 20 during the beta this weekend, which is going to be the max level.
It's going all the way to 100?
No. You can... 20 is the max level. You have to level to 20 to get the baby wolf, but 20 is actually the max level in this beta. It was 25 last beta.
I was just thinking that. Yeah.
Yeah. They dialed it down a tiny bit.
Okay. That makes more sense than, yeah. And by the way, you can hit level 100. I'm like, why? How? Like in the first zone?
That would be really tough, but yeah, people are very creative.
I can't jam 150 hours of gameplay into 2 days, Blizzard. I don't know what you're thinking. Like that time machine isn't going to work that well. But regardless, yeah, that's still pretty cool. I am excited to hear about that. Let's see, what else should we talk about? Blah, blah, blah. Blog posts. Go ahead.
I actually have a Diablo 3 thing, which is not actually new news, but I discovered it this past week that kind of plays into our Diablo 4 discussion. Diablo 3 seasons. They will be continuing after season, what are we in? Are we in season 28 right now? Yeah. They will be continuing from here. They haven't given us a specific schedule, but season 29 will have its own unique theme. But after season 29, we're going to have themes that are remixes of old themes. So they're going to continue this seasonal thing in Diablo 3, but we aren't going to get any like big development on it moving forward. So I think that's I think that's a good kind of mix. So people who still like Diablo 3, and Diablo 3 is fun in a different way than Diablo 4, can keep playing, keep enjoying the seasons. It's going to get a little repetitive. But, you know, we've had 28 seasons, so there's a lot to dig through.
And there'll be, like, if with season 29 comes out with its own unique theme, that means we will have 15 theme seasons, because they started with season 14. That's a fair amount of stuff to mix and match with. I think we proposed that a long time ago.
You wrote a post about it, and I think you said exactly that is what we should do.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. That's actually really heartening that they're going to keep some kind of development going forward, even if it's not going to be like it sounds like it's going into quote unquote maintenance mode.
Yeah,
but with three of the games out, you can't have live development on three of them. At some point, you've got to pick. Diablo 4 is the new hotness. It obviously needs to be getting the development. And Diablo 2 has its own dedicated team.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like that those are the two you would see going forward. Immortal is obviously getting its own design team as well. It's time for D3 to take a break. That makes sense. I'm glad that you found that out. I wish I'd heard that. That's really cool. Okay, so we got that news out there. Should we talk about... we're going to mention this, but we're not going to go into too much. We know that there's a blog post coming within the next couple of days as we record this. That's going to be from the WoW dev team, and it's going to talk about something. It's an upcoming content thing. Likely going to be news about 10.1.5, which we're probably going to get the PTR on any day. But that's it. That's all we know. So we're not going to sit here and try and speculate. What does this mean? What does it got? You know, we've got plenty of stuff to talk about in the actual patch 10.1 that we have, and we haven't even covered it yet. So we're just going to put that out there, and now we're going to start talking about patch 10.1, unless either Liz or Joe have anything they want to say about this announcement that's coming in 2 days.
Nope, just looking to see what it is.
I will say that it's scheduled for Thursday the 11th. The WoW team has been starting to put out kind of weekly schedules, and they'll mention when they're going to make blog posts. So if you're listening to this on Friday, then you will already know. You will know more than we do in this moment.
Welcome to time dilation, guys. But yeah, okay. So let's talk about patch 10.1, because that's been out for a week now, and people have gotten to play with it and look at it. But this week, as we're talking right now, the servers are up and season 2 has officially begun. The new Mythic dungeons are ready to. They're the same Mythic dungeons, but not the same ones from last season. They're different Mythic dungeons. That's all set up and ready to go. Abarus is now open on all difficulties: normal, heroic, mythic, and LFR. First wing of LFR only, but all of that's available, and you can start, you know, playing in it. You can get a look at it. You guys haven't, obviously, you haven't gotten a chance to raid yet. You're raiding tonight or tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow night's our raid.
Yeah. Any particular thing you're looking forward to? I mean, I know, Joe, you've been doing Mythic Plus a lot. Anything you want to talk about there?
I'm just looking forward to, diving back in. I want to experience the new FXs. I want to just have fun with the new stuff. I was looking at some of the throughput for Resso Shaman, and I want to get in while the getting's good and kind of enjoy it before they nerf it, because it's going to happen.
Resso Shaman, WoW had published a post about tier rankings for healers today. Resso Shaman is A tier. So
yeah, no longer D tier. Look at that.
Getting there while it's hot.
Yeah.
They also said that Holy Paladins are A tier, even though the post they published about why to play a Holy Paladin was just 1,000 reasons why you shouldn't play a Holy Paladin because the class is terrible. So,
but if you like that,
it's So it's kind of like I'm not really sure where I stand here right now, because I've heard it's bad, and also it's one of the best healers in the game, and I just don't know. My brain is breaking in two different directions.
The interesting thing is we're getting to a point in the game where there's starting to become a, I don't want to call it a distinction, but I don't know what else to call it, where healers are starting to fall back into almost old niche roles. And we talked about this years ago, and we talked about whether this is a good thing or a bad thing, and everybody's opinion on it is different. But the rankings vary too. Like if you if you're looking at what's the best raid healer versus what's the best mythic healer, what's the best PvP healer, like everything sort of like mixes because the toolkits are starting to get varied and the new talent system has really thrown that more into being than anything else. Like we've discovered this past tier that your talent choices make such a wild difference in your effectiveness based off of content that like the tier rankings honestly don't matter.
because I
just want to say I remember when we were doing council, the council fight in Vault.
Mm-hmm.
We had a holy paladin who healed the melee, and she was a godsend. If without her, I don't think we would have killed it.
Liz routinely beat the pants off of me in that fight.
But she routinely struggled on what's the name of that horrible Dethia Ascendant fight?
Oh yeah, Dethia.
Oh god, yeah. That was a bad fight for us paladins.
Yeah, and
that was that's a bad fight for me too.
A lot of the fights really affect what healer specs or what healer talent builds are going to be the best ones or even useful.
Yeah.
Because it's like, can you stand still for 4 seconds and get off a really big heal?
Can you do what druids can do and heal like a turret, like a trank, like you can just go and go and go and not have to worry about stopping. Like it's interesting. And who has talents to accommodate it? Cause not everybody has the same talents anymore. The spread's more varied. So, like, I find it interesting.
I want to jump in here about Dathia the Ascendant. Rextroy posted a video this week about soloing Dathia, which apparently took him 2.5 hours, but he did it. He did it, and it was all thanks to a snail toy, which you could summon the snail, and you were immune to knockbacks or movement impairing effects. You would just sit there. So he would, like, summon, and the snail would also hit Dathia while, you were on the snail. So he would summon the snail to get away from the knockback, and then he'd get off the snail for a while and hit Dathia and heal himself, and then he'd get on the snail so he didn't get knocked off the platform for, like, 2.5 hours. But there
that's
you go.
Almost Dathia, the
Dathia soloable. I think it's a toy or something from Zerolek Cavern.
Wow. Okay. It must have a really forgiving summon time because man, that's the kind of thing it really really hard to like plan for.
It can be summoned in combat. I believe they have already nerfed it, so you cannot repeat this. But it's a hilarious video. He's just sitting there on a snail, and the snail is attacking Dathia. So yeah, the power of snails.
Oh, well, we knew snails were bad because anybody who ran Mists of Pandaria remembers the gastropods.
Oh, no. We're not talking about that again. We're done. We're done. Podcast over.
He was pulling his headphones off and leaving. but yeah, so that's not news. But I honestly, I'm looking forward to seeing, like, Joe. First of all, I want to see, like, what happens with the Race to World First, boss fight. I can't remember the end boss because I'm always confusing him with the Naltharian image. It's the Drakthir who's the kind of like the secondary villain of this thing. I can't remember his name, but you guys know who he is. I want to see who gets to world first on that. I want to see if taking that week away that people used to have to run normal and heroic before going into mythic, it just means they're going to be doing more splits and running more normal heroic and then trying to do mythic almost the same time. That's kind of how it went last time, if I'm not insane. Like, I remember, for the first couple of days, there was nothing. I remember you even commented on it, because you were covering some of the Mythic race?
Yeah, I was doing some casting for BDGG.
You made a point that nobody was doing anything for the first couple of days. They hadn't even touched any of the bosses. They were just running normal heroic splits.
That's going to be the same this time around too. I mean, I was watching some earlier and they were doing like normal splits they were running Mythic Plus because it used to be Mythic would go live a week after normal and heroic. So they had a week to gear up before heading into Mythic. Now they don't have that time. So everyone's going to do 3, 2, 3, 4 days of gearing before they even head into Mythic for the most part.
Yeah.
Uh, So yeah, I think it makes the early part of the race maybe a tiny bit less exciting, because it's just, if you tune into any of these streams, it's like, okay, we're just doing normal like 500 times.
Yeah.
And
everybody's okay, going to like pull one of their, you know, we're going to like decide which character, which player's main will be coming, and then everyone else is going to get on an alt, and we're going to run this, and then we're going to switch.
Yeah, that was yeah, that's been really bad in some of these tiers. Like the Sanctum of Domination was particularly bad because they were doing dozens and dozens and dozens of Anduin splits for their tier pieces. And oh, wow. I was so sick of watching people kill Anduin.
Yeah, I was actually wondering. I mean, one of the things that Ian Hazzacostas mentioned was that they know that this isn't great, mm-hmm. that people are doing this. They know this is not engaging. It's not fun for anybody doing it. It's not even fun for the groups pursuing, you know, Mythic World First kills. Nobody likes doing this. They just do it because it's the mathematically most optimal way to get geared up to pursue. So I don't know if they have anything planned. They certainly don't have anything planned for now, but I don't know if their next raid is going to see any kind of mechanic to make that not doable.
There is one thing they've changed between last tier and this tier. It used to be, it's like someone would get gear and then, you know, they'd have X number of hours to trade it. So in the raid, they would give all of their gear to one player, and then that player would log off and that timer would freeze. So they could do all of their splits and then later decide who got that gear to make sure they had the right characters geared up. But this tier, that timer continues while they're logged off. So you've got a little less forgiving.
You basically will have to make those decisions. They'll probably have to make these decisions beforehand. Like they'll set up, okay, if X drops, it's going to Y, sort of thing.
I mean, the thing is, there's so much like luck involved. And seen in previous tiers that it's like they don't just have one character. They may have like, you know, everyone may have like a half dozen of their character. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's like the one that gets the tier pieces. That's the one that's going to be in the raid, not any of your other characters. And you're like, it's a little bit nuts, but here we are. Here we are. That's the state of the game.
Yep. But that's happening right now, really. I mean, there are people doing their splits right now. As we're recording this. Go ahead, Liz.
One other thing that I think is interesting about them releasing everything at the same time is that it kind of puts guilds on a more even playing field. Because you get these big professional guilds like Team Liquid, like Echo Method, who just, they're like serious hardcore. They're very consistent in the World First Race. And if you have Normal and Heroic release a week early, they're going to full-time play through Normal and Heroic. It's hard to call any of these guilds casual guilds, but slightly more casual guilds may not have the time to have all of their raid team take a week off to play Normal and Heroic before the Mythic race even starts. So now everyone is starting to gear up at the same time, which kind of opens up the race to the lower end guilds that maybe didn't have as much chance to compete because they couldn't afford to spend, you know, 2, 3, 4 weeks taking off and doing these raids.
I mean, one of the things to point out is a lot of Mythic First raid guilds have sponsors.
Oh, yeah.
They can afford to do stuff like say, okay, we're taking, you know, May off of your work. Don't, you know, get your vacation time straightened out or whatever, because we're doing it. And if they can't do it normally, they can afford to be like carried. There's money there. Whereas for a lot of other guilds, it's, you know, they may be just as good, but they don't have a sponsor and, you know, they're just doing what they can. So that is something that is interesting in that it will prevent quite as much of a gear run on.
There's certainly still a discrepancy between those big professional teams
absolutely.
And kind of smaller teams. Like the amount of gold a guild like Liquid spends on the race on not just consumables, but they will have people jump into, you know, their splits groups, just, you know, people, players who are of a certain item level and will be able to trade gear. And they pay them in gold for like, okay, you come along, you trade your gear to us, we'll give you X amount of gold. And so running things like that is a tremendous amount of gold that they spend on this and on buying BOEs and everything. It's huge. Most guilds the normal average player is not going to have resources like that.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, we will see how that ends up working and so forth. Also, this new world boss going to be up. And the Firewreck Assaults are tomorrow? Or is
today?
That today? Today. Today. Okay. I saw it tomorrow when you know about it, but I didn't remember if you did that yesterday or not. Sorry. time again. But yeah, the Firewreck Assaults are started up. So if you want to start running around hitting those, they're going to be in the Dragonflight world. So go ahead.
As with Deathwing, so many years ago, there is an achievement you can get by letting Fryak fly over and murder you.
But if you like achievements that much, then by all means, go get murdered by Fryak.
Why not? Why not? I mean, he's a giant dragon. He's setting everything on fire. You're probably flammable, so
everything's if you get flammable. His way,
just gonna happen.
I was like just watching a video the other day of how someone said like making a bonfire out of steel wool. You can burn steel wool because the steel is so spaced by air that it will oxygenate fast enough to actually burn. Whereas it, obviously you can't really burn a block of steel, but if you make steel wool out of it, yeah, you can burn it. So yeah, everything's flammable if you just try hard enough. So yeah, that's happening. We mentioned that the world bosses are going to be, they're in the game right now. The new ones.
The new ones. Yep. Zone.
Yeah.
How many down are there? In, 4, 2 or what?
There is just one world boss encounter, but it is 2 Desjardins. There are like 2 bosses in the world boss.
Okay. So yeah, it's like a mini council or something. Okay.
Yeah.
We've seen bosses like that before, going all the way back to the Twin Imps. We know the deal. So that's happening. That's cool. And we didn't mention this one, and it's also listed. The Wrath Classic 3.4.2, the Phase 3 PTR, went up last week. So if you're curious to see like what's going on with that, the PTR is there for you to test. Phase 3 is the Trial of the Crusader stuff?
Trial of the Crusader, yeah.
Yeah, I can never remember what their current phase system, what's what in it. They've had their Ulduar in Wrath Classic for a while now. Longer than I think it was in the real game, which is something they said they wanted to do. So yeah, that's pretty cool.
One of the things that's on the PTR is new Titan runes. You know, they have Titan rune dungeons in Wrath Classic, which are a little like Mythic Plus in retail WoW, but there are upgraded Titan runes that are on the PTR that add an increased level of difficulty again. And presumably there will be increased eye level of loot. They seem to have been making a real effort to make dungeons continue to feel relevant. So it's like, it's not like, you know, when Wrath was out there, it's like you had Ulduar for a short amount of time and then Trial of the Crusader came out and the gear was so much better that you just never went back to Ulduar. Maybe you go and finish it because it's really cool, but there was no reason to go back and run it. And they seem to be working really hard to make all levels of content worth playing instead of just completely fading out and being overshadowed.
Did they do that thing for the first phase when we were going into phase 2? They put 10 man Naxxramas loot into the Titan Rune dungeons, and they made the 25 man loot drop in both 10 and 25. Did they do anything with Ulduar loot and the new dungeons? Have we heard anything about that?
I have not heard anything, but I would guess that they're going to continue that where it's kind of like the loot levels kind of go down a difficulty. So you get low level raid gear in your Titan Rune dungeons and you get slightly higher level raid gear in your raid dungeons.
Well, that's still worth finding out about. That's pretty cool. I think we've covered everything.
Have we?
I don't think
did we actually cover the entire massive pile of things that is that are happening right now? Wow.
That's pretty much it. Yeah. I mean, you could argue we could talk more about some of these things, but we have pretty much covered everything. So I'm going to actually try and get us through some emails this time. Let's see what happens. Although none of these are emails this week. These are all from our Discord server. So thank you guys so much. Discord server help is much appreciated for questions for the show. Gonna do the spiel. If you have a question for the podcast, you can again use our Discord server. We have 2 channels. One is for our patrons because patrons pay the bills and we like to give them that back. That's one of the things that we told them that we would do. So we would like to do that. That's the Patreon Q and Podcast Questions channel. But we also have a Q&A podcast questions channel for non-patrons, because we do understand and do, we really love our listeners and our community, whether or not you're a patron. It's still great that you guys, you know, listen to our stuff and read our posts and all that good stuff. So we do still look there too. We just didn't have anything from them this week, unfortunately, but we do have a bunch of stuff from our other channel. So this time I'm just going to pick one and read it, and then you guys can alternate depending on your whims. This one is from Dashifen, which is pronounced Dashifen. So I got it right without reading that again. It's, having seen the new talent system for some time now, what are your thoughts? I'm going to answer it first because I grabbed the question. I think it still needs work. I think they have been working on it. They've worked on it now through, you know, two minor patches and now a major patch. They've done significant work on it. I definitely feel like it's getting better. Iteration is working. It doesn't make it perfect, and it really depends on your class. Some classes still seem to be struggling, but I think, honestly, I like it overall. I am still the kind of person who doesn't like it when I feel like a talent system has you put an extra point in something just to keep you there. And we still have that to a degree, not as bad as it was in vanilla, but there's a lot of talents where it's like one out of two. And I'm like, why do I have to pick this twice? Just, you want me to pick this twice just so I have to spend an extra talent point on it, so I can't get this thing over here. And I don't like talent trees that are designed, I don't mind having, you can't get this and this, but if you want me to not be able to get this and this, don't make it because I have to put 2 points in something. I find that an inelegant solution. It feels like you're just making the talent not good until I get 2 points in it. And that's not something I enjoy. Also buff warriors, just because I play warriors a lot and I like them, but I honestly don't really feel like warriors talents are in a bad place. I think my paladin is getting more play lately just because I feel like they've started to really make the paladin feel distinct enough to want to play it. Although there's still some significant problems. My paladin is mainly holy. I'm not a good holy pally. I'm not Liz, but that's mainly what my paladin does. And I'm just now starting to feel like I can come up with a talent build for it where I feel comfortable playing it. And we're how many months into this now? 6 months, 7 months,
a couple, you know, one or two or six. Yeah.
We've seen three patches, you know, so I don't feel like that's a great feeling. And there were some talents, you know, some talent specs that have just straight up gotten complete redesigns in this time. So it's had its ups and downs. It's been bumpy. But overall, I am not as angry with it as I thought I would be by a huge amount. Like, I like the system. I just think it needs more. Which one of you wants to go next?
I'll let Liz go.
You can't vote her.
I see you over there trying to talk as little as possible, because when Matt and I get going, I think we can both just talk.
Oh no, I'm trying to have some somewhat positivity before I come in.
Okay. I have really enjoyed the new talent system. It's not perfect. I mean, it's impossible to make a system this massive with this many choices. It's impossible to make a system like that that is perfect. There are, you know, there are balance issues, and there are going to be balance issues. There's just no way around that. But I think overall, it's pretty fun. It allows you more choices and more flexibility than we've had in previous talent systems. And even though we wind up with cookie cutter builds, I feel like it's like I have the choice to go this direction. I have the choice to go that direction. Oh, I need an interrupt for this fight. I'll just spec into an interrupt now. And I can do things like that and make choices to give myself different strengths and allow myself to have different weaknesses because I'm going over here to pick this up or that up. I really like it. I don't know that Paladin is in an awesome place. Retribution has gotten a lot better. They've really fleshed out the Retribution tree. Holy remains a little weird because it's like Holy is a melee spec. It just is. Holy Paladin is a melee spec. There's no way to get out of melee. And I've been kind of looking at the Mistweaver Monk tree, like, really enviously, because a Mistweaver can go all in on being a melee healer, or they can just completely not do that at all. They don't have to take any melee talents. They don't have to do anything over there if they just want to stand out and heal. Or the other way around, you can go all in on melee. And Holy Paladin, you know, my dream Holy Paladin would be if you could really give yourself that choice, okay, it's going to be really hard for me to be in melee this fight, so I'm going to spec out of these melee talents and I'm going to focus on being out at range and healing from there. But we just don't have that option because we have holy power. And the best way to generate holy power is far and away by staying in melee and hitting things. So I do kind of wish we had more flexibility there. I think the talent build has improved. Blizzard has continued to iterate on it. I know some specs, they haven't iterated as much, haven't given them as much attention as they need. But overall, I think it's a really interesting system that adds, you know, a kind of flexibility that WoW has not had in its talent builds in a long time.
Okay, Joe, you're up.
Still don't like it. Everything that I thought I was going to feel about it, I do. Maybe not as harshly as I thought I was going to, but here's why. And maybe it's a me thing, and this is, again, just my opinion, and I don't want to harsh anybody else who's enjoying it, but I have a different spec for every single boss in a raid, period, because I don't have choices that matter other than that specific talent set or that specific tree or that build for that one boss, because I need to get to something specific. And a lot of times I have to get to that one thing that's specific, and then I have to do what Matt's talking about, where I have to take talents that don't matter or that I just have to put extra points in to get to where I need to go to get the thing that does matter for that one particular boss. And because I feel like if I don't do that, then I might as well not even be doing that boss or healing or completing my role. Because without that talent or without that one particular thing, I'm completely ineffective or reduced so much that it's exceptionally noticeable. Liz can vouch for how hard I take it when I feel like I am not contributing like I know I can to a group, which sort of leads me down that. I also don't really feel like there are meaningful choices in the trees right now, because again, it's not like here are these two really cool options and I can use either one of them. It's I can't get this one thing if I need this one thing over here. That's not a meaningful choice. That's just I need this one thing over here, so that choice is already made for me. It has gotten better for a lot of classes. They are continuing to work on it, but right now I still don't like it. I don't like where it's at for at least me. And I think that it is an illusion of choice more than it is actual choice for some of the specs. And I hope that changes. I hope that they continue to work on it. And I hope they continue to listen to feedback and maybe work into that. But from my perspective, that one main goal of giving players the customization and choice to play how they want to play has already failed from the beginning, because you're already forced to spec very specific ways to get key talents that you need to do certain things. Whether it's get an interrupt or, you know, get a cooldown as a healer, like all of your cooldowns are on there, which that feels bad. You can't always get all of your cooldowns, which I understand. They want to make to have there be some weight there, but it doesn't feel good right now to me. So I'm hoping that it continues to get worked on, but I still don't like it. I don't like feeling like I have to have a different spec for everything I do in the game. And a different talent loadout and a different build and different bars. Like I literally have it maxed right now. I can't have any more presets. So
yeah, it's pretty ridiculous that you can only have, you know, X number of presets.
It's not even a
and
high
it's
number.
It's really limited.
It's like five.
It's not
six.
A high number. It's like, yeah, it's and, maybe 10.
And every it's 10.
And that's across all your
everything.
All of your specs.
Yeah, and everything and the other ones, like I literally have a notepad on my computer for the talent string so I can just copy and paste them when I need to do one outside of those 10. So, and again, this could be
ridiculous.
That could be a me thing, and that's entirely possible with how my brain works, but that's my opinion on it right now. And maybe it'll improve later, but that's where I'm at.
Okay. Go ahead, Liz.
One of the things you're talking about, Joe, and something I feel very strongly as well, is wanting to contribute to the group and feeling really bad when I feel like I'm not contributing to the group. And the thing with me and Holy Paladins right now is I don't feel like that is related to talent builds. Like, it's related to how bad a fight is for melee. Mm-hmm. If it's a fight that's really hard on melee, I am going to do real bad on it. There is no way to spec to do better because I've got to be.
You don't have that. You don't have that flexibility.
And so, Yeah, that's kind of what I was getting into. I want flexibility to be in or out, and the talent tree does not have that flexibility. They had a tiny bit, but they haven't added the key piece, which is you need to be able to generate holy power from out of melee range. And we just don't have a tool set there, even in the talent tree.
And that kind of goes back to what I was talking about a little bit earlier with the whole healers are starting to get into their like these niches again. And the talents sort of play into that. Like you're talking about holy, like holy doesn't have the flexibility to not be a melee healer, really, at least not with feeling like you're doing anything worthwhile. And I totally understand that. Like you and I have had long conversations about this off podcast and stuff like this. So like Liz and I have gone back and forth and talked and I've tried to have an understanding from her perspective, because I don't play holy paladin. And like, if I was in Liz's position, that would drive me absolutely insane. Like a regular ranged healer can choose to stand in melee or can choose to stand at range.
Yeah.
Right. Even a mid-range healer like the Drakthyr, like an Evoker, can go to its max range and has tons of mobility options too on top of it.
I was going to say, with the Drakthyr, even if a Drakthyr can't really go to range the same way other people can, a Drakthyr can zip in and out so effectively that it's not a limitation.
So like I find that fascinating, because again, like you're being shoehorned into that niche role almost as much as I am with mine. Like it's an artifact of how the talents are set up and how that class is being played based off of, or expected to be played based off of that. So
like it's interesting, because with Holy Paladins, I feel like it's shoehorned into the class on a higher level than talents.
Oh yeah.
It's like,
fair enough.
We have holy power. Our abilities that generate it most effectively are melee abilities. And our mastery is based on being close to our targets. So we do more healing. I do like 30% more healing if I'm in 10 yards of my target than I do with someone who's, you know, across the room. So you really want to, you've got to stay in melee. You want to stay close to the largest concentration of players. And that's how you heal. You're kind of, everything combines to shoehorn you into this melee role.
Yeah. Theoretically have talents that did something about that.
That would be great. Yeah. And that's kind of what we're getting at, right? Like if they would give us talents that let us make a choice to accommodate that play style, you know, or necessity for everybody, then you could do that for like, I think that would be better. I still don't think it'd be perfect, because you'd still be changing your talent spec out per boss. But I mean, like if you as a player don't like being in melee and you want to play a holy paladin, give them a choice, or give them the ability to choose to not be a melee holy paladin, right? Like that's where I'm at. I'm sorry. I can harp on this for hours.
Of course. The weird thing is, you have a negative opinion of it and I have a positive opinion of it, but I think we really think almost the same thing about the system. I think we have very similar opinions on it. It's just, I lean one way and you lean the other way. But I think, for the most part, we completely agree with each other about the weaknesses of it.
Yeah, I would agree.
It's just that for Joe, the weaknesses overpower the positives, and for you, the positives overpower the weaknesses.
Mm-hmm.
It gives you what you want. I like
being able to have an interrupt.
Yeah, it gives you stuff you want enough that the negative aspects of it do not detract from it enough for you to not enjoy it. It does not give Joe that. Joe is not getting enough stuff to overwhelm his negative reaction, and I only care about warriors. I mean, I'm not, let's not gild the lily here. I play other classes, but other classes, if I don't enjoy what they're doing this expansion, I just stop playing them and I'll try again next expansion. But warriors, if warriors don't work, I do not play World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
And you know, that's exacerbated to a certain degree because of like, if I have a huge family calamity, I also don't play World of Warcraft because, you know, bad stuff is happening. But for me, warriors are the most important class, and that's just how it is for me. So when their talents are okay, and right now their talents are okay, they need more damage, but that's always going to be what I say. I feel like there's enough. I feel like warriors, because warriors are always going to be melee, that's not a question. There's no warrior is like, yeah, if only I could go out to range. I haven't heard anybody, well, a few, but you know, no one is expecting arms or fury warriors to go out at range. They're not expecting this. This is not what they think is going to happen. So no one's upset that there's no talents allowing it. There's no gun talents. There's no talents that make you into like a sharpshooter or a dragoon or anything like that. if those talents existed, I'm sure a lot of Warriors would like them. But no one's upset that they're not there. Whereas the idea of not having ranged options, healers expect ranged options. Healers expect to go out to range. And so having paladins be the melee healer, it's a cool idea. It differentiates them. But it also does come with the baggage that playing melee in World of Warcraft is now and has forever been the worst thing you could do to yourself. Why are you doing this? Are you a masochist? What's wrong with you, Matthew? And so the fact that I only play a Holy Pally shows you what's wrong with me, because I want to be in melee. If they had an ability that made it not melee, I wouldn't take it, because I feel like being out at ranged is inherently cowardly and shows that you are afraid. Now, that's ridiculous. That is absolutely ridiculous. This is a video game. But it's the mindset of the class that I play. You wouldn't want to be a ranged warrior. That doesn't make any sense. You want to be a ranged warrior, be a hunter. You get a bear. You could have a bear, too. You can shoot things and have a bear. You know, why wouldn't you do that? If you could shoot things and have a bear, why not just be the guys that could shoot things and have a bear? So, yeah, I think there is a bit of dissonance between what roles are expected to do. Like, you don't hear a lot of complaining that tank specs don't have a ranged aspect, because no one is expecting one. No one thinks tanks should be ranged, except those lonely, lonely warlock players.
Hunters did that in vanilla too. Thank you very much.
Yeah, but let's be real. No hunter has ever really wanted it the way warlocks did.
Yeah,
warlocks really want it. But to get back to all of that, I think basically what we're saying is, it comes down to, do you enjoy what you're getting enough to enjoy, to ignore what you're not?
Yeah. And it's a deeply personal thing, right? Like, everybody's going to feel different about it. Like Liz and I are just talking about, even though we agree on almost every point, we pivot different ways as a result of that, you know, and it's all going to depend on what you're playing. If you're the type of person that like zeroes in on a single class, like we are, I mean, Matt and I, who at one point in time had the character limit, I don't know if you still do. I think I deleted a couple characters, which most of mine were shaman and most of Matt's were warriors.
Yeah. I actually think I've got two slots open.
I think I have like one or two slots open as well, but like, you know, you feel that
my hunter.
You feel that more keenly than you do, like, if you just play everything. So, like, I don't want to play, like, if you were in Liz's situation, I don't want to heal in melee. F it, I'll just go roll another healer. Maybe I'll try priest, and you just go and you find what you want in another class. You know, the system works fine if that's the way for you, but it's all deeply personal.
Well, we've spent a lot of time talking about this one, so I think we're going to have to power through an email really fast and then be done for the day. Since Joe technically responded last on that one, I'm going to make him pick the next one.
Okay. Do. I guess we'll do Metalzani. Greetings, Watcher. With all the rumblings about new land on the other side of Kalimdor, what do you personally want to see on these new lands? Is this where you finally get a Devilsar mount? Maybe I finally get to tame a Brutasaur, or maybe just playable Tuskar and Vykrol who got lost. I just want to know what fun things you would love to find over there. Serious or joking? Give me playable Tuskar. I will say this at every opportunity I get. Playable Tuskar will make me forgive the talent system. I'm saying that right now. Honestly, I want to explore. I want to see Avaloran. I want to see what a world or land looks like that wasn't ravaged by the scourge like we were, and the events that happened over the last, how long has it been in game? 20 years, 20, 35 years, something like that.
38, I think.
38. Over the past 38 years in game time, like, think of everything that's happened, the cataclysm and everything else. And we don't know how they fared. We don't know what happened over there. And the idea of exploring new lands, just the option of exploring, excites me, because yes, it could be more of the same. And it probably will be a lot of the same stuff we're already used to. But I'm really, really excited for the idea of what happens when these Titan Forged races that didn't really get involved in all these major conflicts that we know of, or at least not in a way that we interacted with, how does their society look? That's what I want. All right, when do you two go?
Liz, do you want me to go?
No.
Okay. Robot dinosaurs. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk. No, I mean that. Although I straight up, I would love to find out that there was a group of mecha gnomes that like ended up like in some crazy place and built a robot jungle complete with robot dinosaurs. I would absolutely love it. I would be totally down for exploring it. Also, I've had this idea for a long time now. Imagine you're on Draenor as Ner'zhul opens his network of portals and everything starts falling apart. What if Gorian ogres managed to piggyback on his network of portals before he, you know, blew everything up and ended up on some part of Azeroth we've never been to? Started fighting a war to try and conquer wherever they ended up. Maybe they did. Maybe they just managed to take over part of it. But imagine there's this whole chunk of old Draenor that's just somewhere on Azeroth, right? And so, like, maybe there's really weird orcs who like escaped slavery at the hands of the ogres and ran out into like whatever the robot jungle and tamed robot dinosaurs and are riding around on those. Maybe they got like special shooty technology from the mechanomes, and the mechanomes and the orcs are like best buddies because they're basically the same thing. Because remember, orcs are the gnomes of Draenor, the smallest and smartest and most technically minded people on that planet. Are the orcs and the gnomes. So yeah, robo gnomes and orcs who are like literally wearing like orc alloy. You could finally meet orc alloy and just go there and just run around with this idea. All such a weird, cool stuff we've never seen before that has nothing to do with anything. I just love the idea that they were trying to get away and like they aimed for Azeroth and just hit a part that we haven't been to yet. It's a planet. You know, I got the planet. What you wanted me to end up in some place where orcs are already getting killed? Sorry. No, I hit this part. This is where we are. So yeah, I just, there's cool stuff I would like to see get developed and brought in. So I'm going to go with robot dinosaurs and orcs who ride them. Liz?
Man, I just want to land on a completely peaceful island where we can just build out a lot of player housing and make our own unique cities and just go crazy. This is the part of Azeroth where nothing bad happens. It's very pleasant. The weather is nice. There are some beaches.
See, I don't think players should be allowed anywhere near that. Don't let us go there. That is not good for those guys.
We do have a tendency to ruin things, but you know, just give us some nice real estate that we can go and build things.
I'm just imagining now you're in a, like you're imagining this place and it's populated by talking dodo people, and it's like, oh god, please, hello, it's good to see you. We have no natural antagonisms, and we're completely willing to stand here and let you chop us apart. No, let's go. We're leaving right now. Get back on the boat. But it's so peaceful here. Yes, we're going.
I just player housing. That's what I'm after. Let's just have a whole continent where it's like nothing's happening here. This is a very super boring place. Let's just build a house
because they're sensible. Like whenever they discover a Titan relic ruin, they're like, let's not go in there. Like I'm pretty sure there's something bad in there. Let's stay away. I'm hearing whispers. Let's move faster. So yeah, okay, that's a cool idea. I like the idea of player housing, and I also would like a really big. Open neutral area that doesn't have anything to, you know, I could just see the adventurers getting bored as heck, but you know, I could, it's gonna be someplace in Azeroth that doesn't get destroyed constantly. So yeah, that's a cool idea.
Somewhere.
But I think that's gonna have us wrapping it up. Don't worry, Tatsemi, and Dalen, we will probably get your questions next week. We're gonna definitely push them forward. But at this point, I'm gonna turn to Joe and again give him that look like, hey, you're eating something and I'm a dog.
That's pretty on par. Blizzard Watch is made possible due to the generous contributions at patreon.com/blizzardwatch. Your continued support means that this podcast signing community is able to thrive and grow. Blizzard Watch supporters enjoy exclusive benefits like early access to the podcast, better chance at having your question answered on our podcast or the queue, and an ads-free site experience.
Every time you do it like that, I keep thinking about when I was a DJ.
I have been told that I can and do go into like DJ voice often. So
I don't, except for like when I remember going, hey, it's 88.3 WQRI FM, the Rock of Bristol County. And if you know what that is, congratulations on going to school in Rhode Island. but I want to thank Liz and Joe for being here and for making the show so much fun, especially the pre-show. You guys should totally start listening to that. It's really cool. You could become a patron and you get it every week. You know, Joe would send it to you. Well, not Joe directly, but yeah, he's the one recording it. But yeah, thanks to them for making the show fun. And thanks to you guys for making the show possible. And thank you for being here while we do the show. This has been the Blizzard Watch Podcast. Thank you guys so much for everything. And we'll be back next week.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.